Blog Talk Radio.
Thomas, your host of The Philosophy Show, and you can find us here at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. I'm using a different mic today. I'm actually using my smartphone and calling in. I'm not using my studio microphone, so it might sound a little different. Today's episode is episode number 142, titled Hello World. A waste of time, worrying, and having tantrums are, love is real. And the subtitle is a game that isn't fair, isn't worth playing. And so you can also visit one of my other websites that I encourage at youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And check out the playlist and some of the past videos I've done, etc. So today we're going to talk on a couple of topics: love, fairness, freedom, tantrums, worrying, relationships, fairness, premises, is, and freedom. And why am I doing this? Because this is also a call-in show, so to collaborate and to share any insights that might help others, and also to learn things myself. And so the guest call-in number, if you'd like, is area code 646-929-1344. Again, a guest call-in, if you'd like to call in, pick up the phone and give us a call at area code 646-929-1344. The last couple episodes I've been doing have been a little bit on politics. Today, not as much. And today, actually, the show is every Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday morning. It is June 9th at 2 in the morning today. I usually do it at 12:30 a.m., but even having a show at midnight, I woke up late. I took a nap tonight, and I guess a good thing about the internet is you can kind of reschedule, and this is my 142nd show. It's the second time I've ever been late, but be that as it may, no one's paying me to do this, so, and I do want to be consistent with it, so I have people calling in, but anyways, the title today is Hello World, A Waste of Time, Worrying, and Having Tantrums Are. That is true. I mean, now let's get to the root of it. Why does someone have a tantrum? And why do people worry? And basically, they're almost like the same thing, having a tantrum and worrying. You worry, and an extreme level of worry might cause a tantrum. So they're almost the same thing. Some people might not have a tantrum, but they just freeze. And, you know, it blocks you from doing other things, and it is a waste of time. But I'm not saying that there aren't things worth worrying over, but if those things are really worth worrying over, then the ironic thing is, last thing you want to do is worry or waste time worrying or having a tantrum about it. If something pisses you off to the point where you're having a tantrum, then the most unproductive thing you could do, that the thing that you care about that you're having the tantrum over, going to actually hurt you, most likely. So the best things that probably would help is staying cool, calm, and collected. And now there's lots of different kinds of worries. I mean, most worries have to do with relationships or have to do with paying one's bills and just, you know, those kind of deadlines, I should say, in life. And isn't that kind of a funny word, deadline? Like, meet it in time, you're dead, or the project's dead. So, it's a very real thing. You have a deadline to meet. So anyways, so let's look at it from two perspectives on this. One is the relationship aspect, and then the one others might be goals in life, let's say. And so on the goals in life, let's look at that. I mean, if you have bills, and there have been studies that have, in fact, I just looked at this amazing article the other day, which I think I'll go into next week, about poor people, why they make dumb decisions. In fact, I'm going to find that for you. I'm going to find that for you because a lot of it has to do with is they're preoccupied with stress. I mean, and they have done double-blind studies and scientific, real objective studies on this, where if they're put into different situations where they don't have to worry about certain kinds of stress, and then they've done this with different groups of people and stuff like that, and then they actually make a lot smarter decisions. And so it really holds them back. And actually, yeah, why do poor people make such poor decisions? And there's this good article to check out, written by Rutger Bergman. The title is just called "Why Do the Poor Make Such Poor Decisions?" Let me see if that's easily Googled, if that just comes right up in Google. Yeah, it seems to bring it right up. It's at medium.com and written by Rutger Bregman, Bregman. And also, people might have tantrums in relationships as well. And, when what they really want is to have a successful relationship, or they might worry about bills, and what they really want is to have soundness and security. And when people worry about their relationship, what they really want is to have that soundness and security. And the worrying is not going to help at all. It's just going to take time away from something that could be done that's productive. And having a tantrum is just going to build strife with you and your partner, or build strife against you and your goals, and it's not going to be productive at all. It's going to. The reason why you're worried or having a tantrum, the last thing you want to do is to have a to worry and have a tantrum. I mean, yes, they might be legitimate things to be concerned about, but if you really are concerned about them, then you want to not worry and have a tantrum, unless if you think the answer is just to nuke it and to start over from scratch. And maybe that might be some kind of underlying thing someone's thinking about. So, and let's, and now, let's go to the next subject here, which is another thing for relationship, which is trust. That's the big word, is trust, because you can analyze, as what I'm thinking right now, you can analyze almost any good or bad thing, any problem or good feature of a relationship, and it all comes back to trust. You don't have to psychoanalyze a bunch of stuff. Basically, if there's a problem in a relationship, then there's a problem with trust. Now, it might be more complicated than that, yes, but foundationally, the garden bed, the foundation, the things that things build off of is trust. I mean, and we have a caller, and going to take the call in about one more minute. Let me just finish this thought on trust real quick for about one more minute. Because everything, any symptom that you see, like in a garden, if you see plants wilt, there's a symptom, and every symptom is going to be trust. Every good symptom means that there's good trust, and every bad symptom means that there is a lack of trust. And so you can say this and that and have all this debate, but it really boils down to that. And then we can talk about other things. But we have a caller on the line, so I'd like to bring them in here, and let me see if I'll be able to hear them, actually. All right, caller,
hello?
Are you there? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, cool. I'm so sorry. I just literally ended up from another show, the Beth Ann philosophy show, no, the metaphysical discussion show, and I came to you guys. I know you guys have 19 minutes left, and I didn't hear more than 30 seconds of what you were just saying, so I don't want to jump in and feel like I was just listening, so I don't want to ruin your...
the mojo? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about just some life lessons here, and basically that, you know, it's kind of ironic that, and we're talking about two subjects here. One was about relationships and,
okay.
You know, the ingredient of trust in that relationship and how, you know, any symptom that you see from a relationship, whether it's a bad symptom or whether it's a good symptom, it's going to really show you the gauge of trust that there is in a relationship. If the relationship is going well and everyone's happy, that means that there's probably a lot of, you know, if it's sincere happiness, that there is, you know, a strong level of trust in that relationship. However, if there is disgruntledness in that relationship, it's just going to mean that at the bottom line, there is a lack of trust there. Now, there could be reasons why and et cetera, and that's what needs to be worked on. So everything leads back to trust. And then we're also talking about, if you like, is one thing I think sometimes we're all can be susceptible to is worry, and sometimes that worry can even lead to having a temper tantrum. But the ironic thing is that the thing that gets you worried and the thing that might cause you to have that temper tantrum, let's say, is it might be a significant thing that's important in your life, but having that worry and having that tantrum is not at all going to help you with that significant issue that you're actually having problems with. It's actually going to be unproductive. Having a tantrum, unless if your idea is just to nuke it all and say, hey, you know, let's just obliterate everything and start over from scratch. In that case, maybe a tantrum might be worth it. But if you want to preserve and build what you're working on, then, you know, having the tantrum and worrying actually is now, and the things that people usually worry or have a tantrum over are either relationships or personal goals they have in life, whether it's paying bills or reaching certain deadlines. And I was just commenting on the word deadline itself. So, that's basically what we're talking about. I mean, but you can bring in any other subject that you'd like. And yeah, we have about 15 minutes. I mean, you know, we just the Democratic primaries just end. That's an interesting thing. Well, they haven't ended. Actually, next week there's one in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, in D.C., yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, actually, not for nothing. I had a different topic to bring up because I know you had the whole love and the thing. So I had a different topic about that, but not for nothing. I mean, I'm a big CNN buff now because I mean the best reality TV show is Brand of the World nowadays. Like it's just getting ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like the pundits and the goddamn comment.
I haven't even seen that show before. Yeah, tell me about it.
Oh, the Real World. Oh, it's phenomenal. It is hilarious in the word that actually means hilarious. Because if you watch the thing, you're gonna go insane. Like it's stupid. And what sucks about it is the fact that people are watching this shit, and most of the people aren't even watching this shit. That's the funny part. But most people aren't even most. I mean, I can only assume. I mean, I watch a lot of news. Most people that are voting aren't, I would assume, on maybe a decent judgment, that aren't watching, you know, just because I'm a Democrat. I'll vote for Hillary. Oh, whatever, okay. And Trump is just, that's a whole other freaking topic. But one of the greatest things last night, even though they had, you know, Hillary, and it was a whole thing. It was, oh my God, they made it, thank God to be alive kind of thing. Like, not a 9/11. But, like, thank God you're alive now to witness this, like, history-making thing. I was like,
okay,
she was the first.
The first female nominee or something like that? Is that what you mean?
Of a major party, they call it. Yeah, of a major party. Meanwhile, the Green Party and Libertarian Party both had, but those aren't major parties, so no one gives a shit about those.
Right, right. Of course, Jill Stein and the Green Party and
yes,
who's probably going to be the presidential nominee as well this year.
Major party, so no one cares. It's like it's not on CNN, it's not on Fox, it's not on MSNBC, it's not on NBC. You know, it's just, no one gives a shit.
Right now, do you think? I mean, the listenership of CNN, like, I mean, that's basically you can go to CNN.com, and they have a pretty nice website. But you know, it kind of goes with the people that are voting for Bernie. Most of the people that were supporting Bernie Sanders are 45 years and younger, and most of them probably get their news from the internet. And most of the people that get most of their information from CNN, Fox, ABC, CBS are over 45 and older, and most of them were supporting Hillary. And I do think that it's good, like just like we have the first black president, that we have the first, you know, female president.
But
at the same time, you could make an argument. What a lot of Bernie supporters would say is Bernie Sanders not only could have broken some thresholds of being the oldest person, being the first, Jewish.
Or
heritage,
the first Jewish. Yeah, yeah.
But also, I mean, more principled than significant, I think, is that.
This is what he's talking about, his message.
Well, he would have been the first non-bought out and sold out presidential nomination, and there's been a long, long time since we've had one of those.
Well, yeah, and now what the problem is, so Trump came on about, he came on like 8 o'clock because, no one's going to come on and dispute him because Cruz quit and Casey quit, so whatever, he wins, whatever. Then Hillary came on about like 9, 10 o'clock, and then we went 3 hours, so like, I'm on the East Coast of Florida. We're waiting because, you know, he came out in California at like 1:30 in the morning, and he has a 17-minute speech, and it was the best 17-minute speech I've ever heard because the entire pundits on CNN for the last 3 hours before he came on was like, well, okay, well, he has to be like Hillary, like, you know, when Obama won, and he's like, well, okay, how is he going to say to, like, well, I lost, and send his supporters over that way, but that's not the point, to send his supporters her way. What I loved him saying was she has to make the fight to get his supporters. That's the point. That
yeah,
really
that
is the point.
That kind of goes back to what I was talking about having tantrums and worrying. I mean, you know, like you might have seen in the news, a lot of people that were fearing Trump becoming president were having protests at his rallies and things like that.
For 8 months now. It's ridiculous.
They're having, you could call it tantrums, and it stems from being worried. But the thing is, that's probably hurting their cause more than helping it. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't protest or shouldn't have, you know, the right to peaceably protest, and that would probably,
sure,
if they were peaceful and civilized, and you know, that would probably bring a lot more empathy. You know, that they're worth, you know, caring about and their concerns. But actually, they escalate the situation when they're, you know, causing vandalism. And so I feel for them, as I do have some concerns myself about Trump. But but that's not the way to, you know, that's going to hurt your message than help it. And
yeah,
it's
not a way to protest at all, yeah.
It's kind of like these people that believe in gun rights. I mean, and then they go and say, you're taking away my guns, so I'm going to go someplace and shoot the place up. You've actually just hurt your cause more in 10 times more ways than you could have ever helped it, you know. And,
well, I'll give you this. Well, one of the things I for most of my life I've been an independent because I guess I should be a libertarian because I'm socially liberal Republican, conservative, yeah. So I mean, but then I watched and I know a lot of people hate the guy and a lot of people love the guy, Ben Shapiro. I watched this recently. I guess it was a couple years ago. Ben Shapiro versus what the hell is the English guy? He was on. He took over for Larry King on CNN. Pierce Morgan. And this 11-minute clip, fast forward 8 minutes, if you have the balls, watch the whole thing. But the funny part is, I mean, not to be, you know, it's not a race because it's not English.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Not political, but you have Pierce Morgan, who's from fucking England, not for nothing, but like, okay, well, you know our history with that, and you have him coming and saying, "Well, why do you need to have these assault weapons?" It's like, okay, we don't need to have the assault weapons, but we don't need we want the right to have them. The point is because the Second Amendment is because 240 years ago, apparently nowadays, it's been so fucking long, they knew of the tyrannical ideas that could possibly take over our country. I mean, you look at the past 50 fucking years, I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of strides in equality and all this, but, I mean, essentially, it's really more in everyone's it's making everybody equal to be everyone's a slave, rather than, they have blacks over here, the whites.
Yeah,
ahead,
instead
sorry.
Of being equal, well, it's making everyone equal where we're all slaves instead of making
exactly.
everyone equal where we're all empowered. We're going
yes.
to lowest common denominator instead of striving to the highest
mm-hmm.
common denominator. So it's good that we
yeah.
all want to be equal per se. Well, the main thing is about politics, I think, is we can't guarantee results, but the main thing is it's
for sure.
a game. And the only thing that has trust in a game is, are you playing a fair game? Because if the game isn't fair, and then the game isn't worth playing. And so you still might have someone who wins at the end of the game and you have someone who loses at the end of the game, but you both should start at the same point and or as close to the same point as you could possibly start to make it as fair as possible. And
I mean, that's
gun,
the goal for sure.
That is the goal. And what a gun can do, what a gun can do is it can make a 5'2", 110-pound, you know, petite person with a gun in their hands just as strong as someone who's 6'6", and 360 pounds and is a professional kickboxer. I mean, that is
mm-hmm.
the equalizer. It makes those two people in
yep.
any given situation have an equal shot.
When your rights are being infringed on. Infringed
on. Right,
that's the difference. That's the difference.
And it makes
it less likely
that someone would try to infringe on their rights. Like, no one's – how many people are going to try to infringe on the rights of, you know, someone who is, like, you know, Rambo compared to, someone that's easy pickings. I mean, even the police
yeah.
pick on the poor and vulnerable because they know they don't have the lawyers to defend them, and they know that they're easy
yep.
pickings. But,
yep.
I mean, so if everyone, and it's the kind of same principle of, mutual mass destruction is why we don't have a nuclear war, because we know if one person
Yeah, it's
does
a fucking miracle at this point, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it is.
It really
but,
is. It's a goddamn
that.
Miracle at this point that we have not had a nuclear war. It's been, what was it, Obama, the first president, what was it, 76 years or something like that, 78 years, they went to Okinawa and Hiroshima, and now, and then they give him shit because he didn't apologize. Well, he didn't do it. They were the ones that bombed us. They haven't apologized for bombing Pearl Harbor, so fuck them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's to apologize about? It was war back 70 years ago, 80 years ago. Why should he have to apologize?
Yeah,
that came
I
out
really,
of nowhere.
I mean,
I'm just sorry.
Yeah, I would have to think about that a little further. I mean, it's
I'm sure. Yeah,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's just like one of those what the pundits were saying is I mean, Jesus Christ. After coming 8 years out of Obama, I mean, yeah, he's the coolest president ever, and that's the whole fucking thing they got going on now. But before that, who'd you have? You had 8 years of Bush. I mean,
right.
Jesus Christ, and that was one of the worst things ever, and that's why we're in this mess in the first place. And then we listen to George Carlin nowadays? Jesus Christ. It's a goddamn
yeah,
disaster.
I mean, George W. Bush, and the W stands for I saw this bumper sticker where it says W, worst ever. And
exactly.
And so,
amen.
So the election for Obama originally was like a vote against Bush. And what people
yep.
don't realize is, and the votes for, if Hillary beats Trump is going to be more against Trump than it is for Hillary for a lot of people.
For sure. Definitely. Most definitely.
And honestly, I kind of hope, that people that do want true representation really focus on Congress anyways, because, the presidential, as it does matter. It matters, like, who if we're going to go to war or not. And I don't know if who's the bigger war hawk, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, but I do think that we have...
Debatable.
It's debatable, yes, and they're neither. You have the two most despised people that are running for president right now ever
of all time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there is an opportunity for a third party to make a big impact, but I mean, Bill
yeah.
Clinton, he only won originally because there was Ross Perot, and a lot of people hated the first George Bush, and so
exactly. That's when I only had one term. Yeah.
Yeah. But the Congress, I mean, every 2 years, a lot of people, I wonder if you took a poll out in the world if people knew what the House of Representatives even is. But,
yeah, I wish they did. No, they do that. I saw something today. It was on, I'm not sure if they edit it to make them seem dumber, but they went on Occupy Democrats or whatever it was. And they go on to colleges, and they ask the college kids who are, 20, 23, 22, whatever it is. And it's like, what year was the Civil – who won the Civil War? And then one – and this is me not being
patriot.
Racist, but this – they make it racist because the first question was the black chick saying, oh, was that 1965? Like, they're pushing their agenda but making it seem racist. But I can't say it because I'm white, because God forbid – you know what I'm saying? Like, but it's just a whole thing, man. It's just ridiculous.
But if people really want real change, I mean, they should really, Google. I can't believe I'm saying this. Google House of Representatives. I mean, because
yes!
that's where the real
change. And they
change
have the numbers. They have the numbers to call your actual representative. Send them an email. Send it. You can make it. What they call them? You put your name on the thing and you petition. Thank you so much. Yeah, those they have them all the time. But
the
thing is,
there's one good thing I like about what Obama has done. And
go
maybe
ahead. Yeah, sure. No, yeah.
Yeah, it's that he has that petition to the White House thing, and I think that is a good idea. I mean,
it is a great idea, and I give you this. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. No, have you seen that, where you can petition the whitehouse.gov, and if there's 100,000...
Oh, no, yes. Oh, for sure.
And
oh,
if he
for
says
sure.
If it gets 100,000 signatures, that he's going to publicly address it. So.
And can I tell you why he's full shit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'll give you this. How many okay, in this context, this is apparently the coolest president of all time, right? Because I mean, Jesus, what show hasn't he been on? He's been on Jimmy Kimmel. He's been on I'm just going to say Jimmy Kimmel, whatever. He's been on every talk show ever. He's been on every morning show. He's been on every news show, he's been on every bullshit show, he's been on he was on the Zach Galifianakis show on YouTube, and he gave him shit because that was a whole joke. Now, what the funny part is, he's been on, let's say, 2,000 fucking shows in the past 8 years. Going back to the petition, about 2 months ago, Bill Maher on HBO says, I want to make a petition because Bernie Sanders has been on, and he's the only candidate this year has been on Bill Maher show, which I love the show. I love Bill Maher because
I love Bill Maher too, but sometimes he just pisses you off. I mean,
Agreed. No, I'm on your side. I'm not on either side. I'm on your side in this topic, but it just I like that he at least calls bullshit. And
well, I love
when,
Bill Maher. I mean, but someone that opinionated, it's just going to be inevitable that he's going to piss you off once in a while, you know?
Well, here's the difference, though. Why the hell should Obama go on Zach Galifianakis' YouTube show and here's the difference. They actually petitioned. He went on one of his new rules. He said, I want petition, and they got like 300,000 in a week, 300,000 emails and petitions to go on thing towards, you know, whitehouse.gov, and they said, we regret to inform you that Obama, he would love to do it, but blah, 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 and he won't do it. He will not do it. No, I swear to God, Google this shit.
You got an extra. I am going to Google that, because there's another one where he didn't address the, you know, the cannabis issue as well, and I think that had over 100,000 signatures. But one other last point here is, because it is going to shut off in about 10 more minutes here, is that, what kind of person or what kind of organization – I mean, let me ask you this. Do you know what the approval ratings or the trust ratings, according to the Gallup polls, are for the media, the mainstream media? Like, when people are asked in surveys and polling companies – you know, what is your opinion of the media? Do you trust the media? I mean, what kind of percentages do you think it currently is at?
I think they try to put themselves off as they're doing the job to inform the American public. I think they do a hell of a job of trying to convince the American public of believing in that bullshit. But really, all they want is fucking ratings, really. They don't give a shit. I mean, honestly.
5% approval rating. I mean, they have about a 5% approval rating.
No, and it's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone in the media, but a lot of them have about a 5% approval rating. And what kind of person could have a 5% approval rating and still consider themselves legitimate? I mean, Congress has a 5% approval rating as well. And, I mean, to me, the only type of person that would have a 5% approval rating and still try to tell people, like, that they're legitimate would, you know, almost fall into the category of, like, a rapist or something, you know?
I was just going to jump in. This guy who did you watch? It was after Berman and Baldwin last Thursday or Friday. And did you watch? And it was at noon. And I don't know her name. She was on CNN. And she read the entire statement that this is going to a different topic, but of the rapist, of the rapey, the one who was assaulted behind the fucking dumpster, for Christ's sakes, she sent out a letter because this guy, you know, when she said rapist, the guy Brock, he got 6 months. This guy got 6 friggin' months for raping an incoherent girl at a party behind a dumpster, and it's just okay. Yes, he actually has a 5% approval rating. That's the number. He does. Want to know why? Because the 5% is his family and his friends. Because he's a good swimmer and he's 21 years old.
In a relationship, and if your wife or husband or whatever, like, had 5% trust in you or liked you 5%, would you still, like, if you had self-respect or anything worth anything, I mean, you wouldn't still be in that relationship. You would leave. I mean,
hell no.
So, of course. I think rapists, killers, you know, kidnappers, I mean,
that's the whole spiel. Yeah, everybody. You know, this world is full of fucking monsters, man.
Well, those are the monsters that should be in our prisons, not people doing cannabis and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And there was a thing they had. Who can believe every friggin' meme? But I'm pretty sure there's people, especially vets nowadays, because they can't get worth a fuck of goddamn insurance or any kind of fucking medical help because they come back from the war, and then they start doing weed or something, and the cop pulls them over, and they go to jail for 12 fucking years. Meanwhile, this guy gets 6 months for raping somebody.
That is outrageous.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like almost.
And when Bernie Sanders talks about justice. What's the word? Is it justice inequality or it's basically about what's the word? What the hell did he say? I'm so sorry. It's been a long night.
He says we have a rigged economy. I mean that the justice system. You know, he talks about the privatization of he talks about cops usually have a tough and hard job, but you know, they're not above the law. So if they're found guilty that, you know, of abusing citizens, that, you know, that they should be prosecuted just the same, that we shouldn't have private.
Thank prison. God for that.
Yeah. Well, so what are you going to do this election? Are you going to, or are you undecided? Are you going to vote third party? Or are you just going to vote
Holy
for
shit.
One of the
you know what?
Candidates?
Honestly, I'll give you this. It depends on what the fuck Bernie says. And actually, this entire election, I'll give you this. It really depends on what the fuck Bernie is going to say in the next week.
Yeah.
If he goes on and says,
might get indicted. He still might end up being the nominee because, I mean, strategically, the Democrats, if they don't want to lose their positions of power, like a lot of them are the head of like certain committees and stuff, and that's because, if they want to get that kind of power because they have an
opportunity. Oh, yeah, with the whole DNC and the bullshit and their fucking regulations, they make the rules up as they go. It's bullshit.
Well,
it really is bullshit.
If there's a low voter turnout, the Republicans are going to increase their numbers in the House and in the Senate. The Democrats are going to have less power. Hillary might become elected, or Trump might become elected, or you could have a full House of Republicans. Now, if Bernie is the nominee for the Democratic Party, there's more likely chance that there's going to be an increase of Democrats in the House and an increase of – and the Democrats might even win the Senate.
That's why I hate the fucking media. And I'll give you this one exact fucking example. Last night, 2:30 in the fucking morning, these sons of bitches on CNN, they're saying they're finally, because they're saying, oh well, if Bernie wins this way, it's. And I remember literally a month ago. He said, oh, the math is not there. There's no way Bernie can win because the math is. There's no way he can win with the math. Whatever they were saying. Now, last night he says, he has to win 71% of all the fucking things, delegates, the rest of the way, he has to win 71%. Okay, well, if it wasn't possible a month ago, why is it possible now? And then after he lost, after this big fucking Hillary, you know, big speech and, oh, the first woman, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Meanwhile, the millennials these days, you think the millennials these days actually give a fuck about Hillary being the first woman? No, it's not the kind of world these days. We expect a woman to be able to fucking run the world. That's not the problem. You know, that's why she attracts most of these over 45, 50, 60, you know, the baby boomers.
The problem is the majority of people over 45 who are getting most of their news, not from the internet, but from CNN, which has, you know, contributed to the Hillary campaign, and they never disclose that.
How they were brought up. That's really how it came down, you know, how they're brought up. And that's what it really comes down to. It's sickening. It really is. It's, you know, and if what I was saying was, so last night they were saying, finally, I've been watching CNN for the past fucking 8 months, every single fucking day. And last night was the first time after Hillary won the nomination, of course, where they had, you know, they had the, what's her name? They always have a super delegate, not sure what the hell her name is, but there's a super delegate always on CNN. And then she's like, and then the whole panel, every single, eight people, except that Kelly chick, seven people are like, oh, well, you got to give what Sanders did, because, you know, he helped push the Democratic Party farther to the left, and he helped all this. You know, you got to give it to him. Okay, well, why the fuck weren't you saying that, you know, 4 months ago, 8 months ago, when he was saying the same shit? He hasn't strayed away from his motives or his ideals. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of like Hillary saying now that she's against Iraq war. I mean, she's saying it after the fact, and that's the same thing that the media is doing. Is like now they're going to pretend like, oh yeah, I always liked Bernie and wish he had won. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Exactly.
They're just lying to our faces now. In closing here, it is going to just automatically end in a couple minutes here. But you're in Florida.
No, sure.
You know, there's a great race going on there for Senate with Alan Grayson. And, you know, he has a chance to become a senator from Florida. I would put him in the same kind of scope as Bernie Sanders. And then there's that other guy who's running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC. I forgot his name.
Clan boss.
No, it's not that.
No, she's a clan boss. They've watched my show. She's a clan boss. She's ridiculous.
She's
ridiculous.
Having a tough primary, and there's a real good guy who's running against her in the primary, and he actually is a professor on economics and stuff, and just calling her out for, you know, supporting, payday loan places and stuff like that.
I've seen those commercials. Yeah, that's sick that I've seen those commercials. I have to see those commercials to understand what you're talking about. Yeah, because they don't talk about that on the news. You have to see the commercials.
We're in overtime now.
No, I know. What days are you on?
Right in the middle of the week. It's Wednesday night. Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m.
Awesome.
Standard
Excellent.
Time.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Well, good to talk with you. And, well, take care. And
you
keep
too.
On. Keep those ideas flowing. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, man. I'll call you next week. Adios.
Yeah.